Let us now turn to the book of Genesis, once again, chapter 19. Chapter 19, and we shall read verse 13. Verse 13. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord had sent us to destroy it. And the title being Escape from Sodom, Part 2. We will finish with this talk this evening. So Sodom, as we explained last time, was a very prosperous place to live. The Bible tells us that Sodom and Gomorrah was as the garden of the Lord. Genesis chapter 13, verse 10. And prosperity, as you know, can bring in lots of evil. First of all, you stop depending on the Lord. You become independent. You can even make yourself your own God. And we have several examples of world leaders, nations, and individuals in the Bible who, under the influence of prosperity, considered themselves to be higher than God. We have Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, who boasted, saying in Daniel chapter 4, verse 30, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" We have the king of Tyrus, who said that, "I am God. I sit in the seat of God." Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 2. And we have Edom, the king of Edom, said in his heart, "Who shall bring me down to the ground?" Obadiah chapter 1, verse 3. And we also have King Herod, who made himself speak like God speaking. And people actually said, "It is a voice of God and not of man." Acts chapter 12, verse 21 to 23. And all of them actually were destroyed. They were humiliated. With prosperity and disobedience to the Creator God comes self-determination. People stop believing in any higher authority than Himself. And this prosperity with self-sufficiency can make a person reject the laws that come from God. And these reject their very laws put in their heart, which we call conscience. With the rejection of God's authority and with the rejection of His laws, prosperous nations throw away the moral laws enshrined in their hearts. You'll notice this in our own nation or the Western nations. Fornication and adultery have been glorified. The Western nations have sexualized everything. Make love, not babies. Freedom of sex. Advertisement on almost all items are given a sexual tone. Media from all corners exhibit sexual overtones. Songs abound, even films. From glorifying fornication comes the hell pit of homosexuality. And this is the final straw in the judgment from the Lord. Listen to this. Jude chapter 1, verse 8. "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, that is homosexuality, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. As we saw last time in part one of Escape from Sodom, people, young and old, become pleasure-seeking animals. They try every available pleasure that is offered to them that they feel fit to enjoy. Nothing can bar them. So beside drugs of all kinds, men will use older and younger women, non-virgins and virgins. Then they will move on to use men among men and women among women, and move closer to use children. Remember, like drug addiction, alcohol addiction, sex is also an addiction. But what the Bible shows is that addiction of sex, unnatural sex, becomes so overwhelming that this belief is then forced upon others, on the nation, on the children of the nation. If you don't accept, you will be treated as a third-class citizen. And this belief and lifestyle of men using men and women using women becomes so compelling that society approves the rape of men by men, the rape of women by women. And when this happens to a society, to a nation, to a city, it is time for God to bring judgment on this place. This is what the Lord God is pointing here in chapter 19 of Genesis. Two angels were sent to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. They came to the house of Lot. Lot, it seems, was the only just man who had the fear of God. Apostle Peter, as we read in our second reading, tells us, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, waxed with filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing waxed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." So the angels were told that they had to get Lot and his family out of this place before God rains down fire upon these cities. Sodom and Gomorrah was set as an example. God made an example of them that the nations after that, the cities, the people of the world would not go into the same way that these cities went after. Look what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 19, verse 4. "But before they lay down, the men of the city," now this is Lot and the two angels and Lot's family, "before they went to bed, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter." The word young includes boys, little boys. Everyone from being little to adults had the same mind and were interested in the same thing. As the sex education becomes compulsory in the school, you can imagine, dear friends, what will be the mind of this generation, just like Sodom. Genesis chapter 19, verse 5, "And they called unto Lot, so they surrounded his house. They called unto him and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." We may know them, a term used in the Bible to describe sexual act, sexual intimacy, that we may know them. Verse 9, "And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will need be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door." To break the door. Notice this. They demanded. They forced their way. They imposed their belief upon those that did not believe this way of life. It is worse than what rapists do. These men impose their wicked way of living by force. They wanted to force the door open and break it down. This is not a fairy tale. And we can see the signs of it already in the West. As days go by, this way of life will become aggressive and threatening. As I reminded you last time about that song which came up and went viral, where these men who mainly gay people, they said, "We are coming for your children." Well, in the school they have already come. But now we must turn to Lot and his family. Lot, we are told, is a just man. The Lord God being merciful to Lot, wants to rescue Lot and his family from the coming destruction. The Lord is merciful unto him. Lot is not even aware of what the Lord God is about to do. The Lord saves his own for his own namesake. The first wrong move Lot made was that he jumped to take the first choice. When Abraham said to him, "Look, we are brethren." As you know, there was a strife between Lot's herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen. Lot is a nephew of Abraham, and so there was a strife, there were dispute among them. So Abraham said to him, "Look, we are brethren, let us not have strife and dispute among us. If you go to the left, I will take the right." Actually, Lot should have respected his uncle and said, "You take the first choice, uncle. You are older to me. You took care of me when I lost my father. You brought me with you, and look how rich I'm become now." But he wouldn't. Secondly, he should have remembered that God has promised Abraham to give the land of Canaan. And this being so, God would keep his promise. God would protect Abraham. Lot should have firmly considered to be where God would be present and stay within the blessings of the promise. But Lot was quick to get out of this promised land and to be out of the covenant of God. He chose a better looking place, a prosperous place. Thirdly, surely Lot knew that the moral state of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah was not healthy. Surely he knew that they were not godly. So he should have remained close to his uncle Abraham, whom God was guiding and leading. But He chose a place that was wicked, but very prosperous. It was rich in vegetation and very profitable for herds. Now, fourthly, being a just man, God-fearing man, yet he must have thought, it is okay to be among the wicked. He perhaps believed he can manage, he will be strong. He chose fellowship with unbelievers rather than with the God-fearing. While he lived there, surely he did not adopt their way of life. No, he didn't. He did not approve the way of Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't. The inspired word of God tells us that Lot was just. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow. That is, God did this, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot. Vexed, he was angry, he was irritated with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For Lot, the righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. He was terribly troubled with what was going around in Sodom and Gomorrah, in his city, just as it happens to you and me. And so the angels were told that they had to get Lot and his family out of this place before God rains down fire upon these cities. Well, there is a lesson for us to learn from Lot's decision. Never be in a place or with people whom you know are going to destroy your peace and cause grief to your soul. Never make a decision based on the material benefits you will receive. The love of money, as the scripture says, is the root of all evil. If you put this first, it may not destroy you, but surely bring much grief to you. The principle set for Christians is, seek first the kingdom of God, and the rest, that is, your daily needs, will be added to you. But seek first God's kingdom. Never be eager to please your flesh. Seek to please God. Lot was righteous, but in a way he allowed his desires to subdue God's ways. The Bible says in Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. It is all the work of grace. How gracious is the Lord to uphold us when we fall and pick us up when we humble ourselves. Surely Lot regretted for making the choice to choose Sodom and Gomorrah because it was lucrative. And that is why he mourned. He mourned about the filthy ways of the people around him. He mourned. And the Bible tells us, Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn. Mourn for their sins. There is an important prayer a saint makes in Psalm 19, verse 13. And I think we should make this our prayer. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, from willful sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins, willful sins. The Lord God shows his faithfulness now in coming to rescue Lot from Sodom. The angels tell Lot that he should bring all his family members out of this place. Verse 12. Why? The angels told him. Verse 13. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is grown great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. That's how it is when you don't trust God, you don't know God, you don't know his mind. When you talk to people about the Lord, they think you are mocking them. You are an ignorant fool. You are mad. You don't know what you're talking. We believe in science. We are brainy people. We have progressed so far. You see, but he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. We can feel the urgency that the angels are pressing upon Lot and his family. The angels hastened Lot. They warned him and his family. Look, if you don't hasten, you will be consumed in the sins of the city. You will be finished, burned to ashes. And then next we are told, verse 16, while he lingered. He lingered. Lot, knowing the urgency, knowing the haste that the angels are making to get them out of this place because they are going to destroy it, yet Lot lingered. This man, a righteous man, a just man, mourned all this while about the filthiness of their lifestyle. He was grieved, he was angry, he was irritated and was provoked looking and hearing about their unlawful and immoral deeds. Surely he wanted to get out, run away from them. He surely prayed for their conversion, but perhaps even prayed that God would destroy them if they do not come to the Lord in repentance. Yet now, when God sent his angels to destroy the cities, Lot lingered. He delayed. What must have gone through Lot's mind that he should delay his departure? Looks like he was attached to his way of life. He hated evil, no doubt, but he loved the comfort, the security of a prosperous life. He loved God and his righteousness, but he was anchored to riches and convenience and loved wealth. He probably had built up a massive house with all the comfort. His livestock surely had increased tenfold. He certainly had servants to do all his works. Now, he had to leave all of it and go. God was going to destroy it. He could not believe that. He lingered. The rich man, you remember? The rich ruler that Jesus spoke about. He comes to mind, to my mind. He asks Jesus, what shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus said to him, keep the commandments. He asks, which commandments? Jesus said, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to Jesus, I have kept all these from my youth. What do I lack now? Where do I fall short now? Jesus said, if you will be perfect, go and sell what you have, give it to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. On hearing this, we are told that this young man went away being sorrowful, for he had great possession. Jesus said to his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? And Jesus looked at them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Once again, the Lord Jesus was declaring, you are saved because of his love and grace towards you. Nothing of you and me, nothing. With you and me, it is impossible for us to save ourselves. Impossible. But with God, nothing is impossible. All things are possible. Lot was righteous, was a just man, but was attached to the riches, to convenience, to comfort, and so he delayed. Oh, take care, brethren. Take care. Check yourself. If money, big bank balance, comfort has made you lukewarm towards the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of decision you take in life as a child of God will depend on what you are attached to. Do not be deceived. A lot of decision you take in life could simply be because you want a comfortable life and a convenient life. You can pretend to think that you are doing it out of love and out of obeying God. Check yourself. Examine yourself. Take for even the example of jab. Why are people taking it? One, apparently, to save their lives. Secondly, for the benefits and convenience they will enjoy. It is not because they want to obey God. There are so many commands that the Lord has given to us. Ask yourself, how many commands do you obey? That this should become the overwhelming command to obey God. God has commanded us to go and preach the gospel to all. Are you doing that? The Lord has commanded us to take care of the needy. Are you doing that? It is not because they love their neighbor that people take the jab. One neighbor doesn't know whether the other is dead or alive. When we walk on the street, one neighbor meets the other neighbor. We don't even smile at one another. We don't even acknowledge. We don't even look eye into eye. In many ways, we are like Lot in Genesis 19 and like the young rich ruler in Matthew chapter 19. We care far more for convenience, for comfort and security of our life. Jesus told his disciples, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Is our love for God, when it is tested, something like this? So Lot lingered. We soon see how God actually pushes us out of disaster. Genesis chapter 19, verse 16, "And while he lingered, the man laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters." You see that? They literally put their hand upon each one of them. And the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him outside the city. We see that it is all of grace and mercy of God. The angels literally had to lay their hands upon Lot, his wife and daughters, and bring them out of Sodom. With men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Salvation belongs to God. Now, when the angels brought them out of the city, he told them, verse 17, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." And this was a very strong warning and a very serious command from the Lord to Lot and his family. When God saves, he separates. He does not separate us from persecution, but surely from sin and from wrath. How do you think Lot responded to the Lord's warning and command? The Lord said, "Don't remain on this plain. Go up on the mountain." And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my Lord. Not so, my Lord. Not so? Why, Lot? No, not so. Why?" Lot says in verse 19, "Behold, now thy servant had found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain. Why? Lest some evil take me and I die." What? You're telling the Lord God Almighty, who is just saving you from utter destruction, that you don't want to go to the mountain because you are afraid that some evil will come upon you and you will die? The Lord just saved you from being destroyed, from being turned into ashes. Will not the Lord save you from minor problems? So what was the real reason why Lot did not want to go on the mountain? This was because his heart was attached to the city, to the plains. His heart was attached to the plain land where he will be able to have cattle and become secure again, become rich again, have comfort again, have security again, have convenience again. So he says in verse 20, "Behold now, this city is near to flee, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." He still believes that his soul will live in the place that he decides. That he decides. He does not believe that the Lord's command can save him. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24 and 25, "And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. For our good. The commands of the Lord are for our good, that He might preserve us alive as it is this day. God directs us, God gives us the command to preserve us and to do good to us. Verse 25, and it shall be our righteousness. When we obey God, it becomes our righteousness. If we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as He has commanded us. From the beginning, the Lord's command has been, even to Adam and Eve, obey and live. Lot found it difficult to shake off his attachment to his earthly possession and to his earthly security. He was afraid of dying. He believed that if he had earthly security and if someone promised him wealth and convenience, it would prolong his life. He believed that this would keep him safe. The Lord God warns again and again not to put your trust in men and not to put your trust in the strength of men and in the mind of men. Trust the Lord alone. God agreed. God agreed to place Lot and his family in the city of Zoar. And then in verse 24 we are told, then the Lord rained down upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And He overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities that which grew upon the ground and that which grew upon the ground. Verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind and she became a pillar of salt. You might think that having asked for where he wanted to live, Lot would be happy. He told the angels, I want to go into another city, a small one, but I want to be there. I don't want to go to the mountain. And so we think that he'll be happy now. The Lord would be happy, but no. He changed his mind again. He left Zoar, we are told, and went to dwell on the mountain. Why did he change his mind? Well, he saw what God did to the cities. Until then, he was still attached to his ways. Now he was afraid to live in the city. Verse 30, and Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. He feared to dwell in Zoar. He left the fertile land and the city of luxury and wealth only because he now feared God's wrath. He perhaps felt that Zoar would be the next on the list of God's wrath. For all these cities were having the same immoral lifestyle. So he goes and dwells in a cave. He did not go and dwell in a cave because he was a primitive, but circumstances forced him to do so. God was separating him from the city to the cave so that he escapes judgment and wrath of God. It is better to be on the mountain or in the cave and be under God's protection and under God's providence than be under the wrath of God. Lot's life reflects, dear friends, our relationship with God. Unless fear grips us of losing our lives, we will not obey God. We will not choose God's ways. No. God wanted Lot to run out of Sodom. God sent his angels to make Lot escape Sodom. But Lot lingered. He obviously was attached to his possessions. He had not yet seen the fire coming down and destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. The fear was of losing his all. When God asked Lot to escape to the mountain, he wanted to go to another city on the fertile land. Living on the mountain would be tough living. He was afraid to live on the mountain. He was afraid that something, some wild beast might kill him. Again, he chose for himself a place where he thought he was safe and profitable. He disobeyed God, made his own choice for his survival. And we, dear friends, although we are made righteous by God in and through the faith in Christ Jesus, we must ask ourselves, what is our priority of living, of surviving? What is our priority? It is only when Sodom and Gomorrah were burnt by fire to ashes that he decided to go to the mountain. And here again, he did this because he was afraid that God would judge and destroy this city too, because it surely had the same immoral way of life. Brethren, we are in a period of time where we are made to make a choice for God or for self. To depend on men's wisdom or in God's wisdom. To depend on men's provision or in God's provision. Surely we are made righteous by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are accounted to be righteous by faith. But do we continue to put our faith in our Savior for our escape from tribulation or persecution? Or are we putting our trust in men? Let us pray. O Lord our God, help us, O Lord, to cut off every attachment that we might have, the cords that keep us bound to this earth and the worldly way of life. Lord, knowing that we are already dead in Christ Jesus, and being risen, and we are seated in the heavenly places. We are seated in Christ. O gracious Father, help us to be honest with ourselves, to love Thee and honor Thee all the days of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.